Catherine asked a question. I think she was asking how many of you saw Pastor Vincent. Unfortunately, I didn't have the privilege of seeing myself. Right? It's okay. Yeah, I'll see it another time. You know, that particular day, you know, I was spending some time even fasting and praying. And it's our prayer, I think, because we live in a world, it's a very challenging world, and we are exposed to different kinds of ideologies, different kinds of isms, right? And I think progressive Christianity is it's a very fast-growing movement, I would say, in this part of the world, in the Western world altogether. So pray, you know, that many will, at least get to know the message of the gospel, right? I think God, the Spirit of God would continue to work in the lives of people. Just pray that, you know, that people will hear the name of Jesus. And thank God, I think, we thank God for the church, because as a church we can come together, right, to pray for one another, to pray for the nation, and to pray for people who need God's love and God's salvation. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, as we spend some time, O God, listening to your word, we do not want to hear a man's voice, O God, but we want your Spirit to work in our lives. We want to hear your word. We want to obey your word, O God. In Jesus' name. Amen. I think if you realize, the last week we were looking at the word love. And I thought it will be good for us to further expand on the word love. Last week we were looking at, you know, how do I love God? I think when a person had the fruit of the Spirit, the first thing that is seen in the person's life is love, right? Love is seen. They are in love of God, and they are always seeking to love God. And that is their desire, you know, that is their passion. And if I put in the words of John Wesley, you know, they are on fire for the Lord because they love God so much, right? And they want to be on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought it would be good, you know, because when the love for God is there, love for the church is also found, right? And so when I was working on this particular sermon, I was asking myself, do we love the church? Right? Do we love the church? Do I love my church? Right? Yes, we love the church. But do I love my church? Do I love NCAC? Do I love my church? Right? I love my wife. I love my kids. I love for people who are there for me. I love people who are there to encourage me and all that. Right? But do I love my church? And it was very interesting. I was just reading an article by Christianity Today. It says, one in every five Christians in America has left the church. And one of the reasons is because they don't like the church. They don't love the church at all. Can you imagine? One in every five Christians in America have left the church because they have some kind of hatred towards the church. I don't want. They are hypocrites, right? They just speak. They are very inward looking. And so that's the reason, you know, they have given. And out of the one-fifth, it is very interesting, it's 20% of them. 20% of them have actually do not like the word church or even organized religion. I think we live in a world like that. But when Paul looks at this particular word, you know, Paul says, I love the church. He's in Colossians, he says, we always thank God, right? The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and the love you have for all God's people. You know, every time Paul writes, you will see that he's always thanking God for the church. He says, Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the church in Philippi. I thank you for the Colossians, the Ephesians. Lord, I thank you, even the Corinthians. Right? And so Paul is always thanking God because he loves the church. Why? Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates will hell will not prevail against it. Right? I'll build my church because Christ loves the church. Why do I love the church? And I was just looking at some of the reasons, you know, people give, and some of the reasons were it's because it's about Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you love the church? I'm not going to ask you to answer me. How do you love the church? Are you showing love for our church, for NCAC? Can we say like Paul, you know, I thank God for the church. When you look at Paul's writing to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, if you realize, it's a difficult church that Paul write. It's a difficult letter that Paul is writing to this particular church. But then Paul writes by saying, you know, I thank God for the sanctified people, people who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is not loving the evil practices of the church, because there was a lot of politicking around in that particular church. People were just coming against one another. There were lawsuits that was happening. A lot of evil activities was happening in that Corinthian church. But even then, Paul says, you know, I thank God for the people who are living a holy life. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. If you can read it, you can see that. Right? Sanctified people, holy people. And so there are people who love God. And so Paul says, you know, I love the church. I think it's important for us to ask, do we love the church? And I think the church, and do we care for the church? Do we pray for the church and all that? The church in Colossae was a very powerful church, because it was a church that was, you know, loving one another. Can you imagine? They were just loving one another. They were there reaching out. And that was the early church, Acts chapter 2, right? If you read 42 to 47 onwards, you realize, you know, they were just meeting together. They were devoted to the word of God, coming together daily. Can you imagine? Right? Meeting your friend every day at Tim Hortons, I think you will say, no, thank you very much, right? Let's have it thrice a week, and then twice a week, and then once a week, maybe, and then maybe once a month kind of a thing. Can you imagine? Every day they were meeting one another. And the church historians, they say, whenever they meet fellow believers on the way, they will encourage them, they will pray with them. That was their life. Not only they were meeting them every day in the church, wherever they met them in the streets, they will hug and they will pray, they will encourage. That was the practice of the early church, because they were loving one another. NCAC, do we love the church? Do we love one another? Do we love and do we care for the church? I think that's an important question we need to ask, because if we really love the Lord Jesus Christ, we will love the church, because Christ said, I build my church. And that is his church. And are we loving the church? The first thing which I realize in this particular passage, you know, if you look at three words that Paul is using here, he uses the word faith, he uses the word love, and he uses the word hope. Right? Why this church, and how this church was, you know, loving one another? Firstly, it was a church that was in, it was a loving community, right? Jesus as Savior and Jesus as Lord. If you look at the word very carefully, in verse 4 it says, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. The object of their faith was Jesus Christ. And so what was happening in this particular church, they were encouraging one another, right? It's not just come for our fellowship. It's not come for our activities. They were encouraging one another by saying, you know, the Lord loves you. And so there was a lot of conversion that was happening in the life and ministry of this particular church. And the object of their faith was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what was happening? They find ways of honoring Christ. They were just worshiping God. They were living a life full of gratitude for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine, you know, they were encouraging. Their conversation was about Jesus Christ. They were asking, you know, how did you experience Christ this week or this month? Is there something that I can pray with you or pray for you that you can be a great witness in the community? You know, that was the atmosphere of the church. Can you imagine? It was so powerful. It was so powerful. And people were just encouraging one another to encounter Jesus as their Savior. At the same time, if you realize, you know, the word, and they saw Jesus as the Lord too. When I look at the Greek word very carefully, the word faith The root word of the word faith in Greek is obedience. It is not just having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Greek word, it's very interesting. In the root word, the word obedience is always found. So in other words, it's not a blind faith. It's not an inactive faith. I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the Greek, it means I have faith and I obey Him. He is my Savior and He is my Lord. I believe Him as my Savior. At the same time, I give myself wholly to Him. They surrendered their time to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were encouraging one another, not only to just accept Jesus as Savior, but encouraging one another in their personal walk with God. Can you imagine? They were just motivating others by saying, come, this is the way to go. This is the way to live the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the early church. And that was the church in Colossae. You know, that is loving the church, my friend. We support the church, we give, we're involved in so many things. It's wonderful. I think the spiritual way of loving the church is caring for the believers, caring for the salvation of the people in the church. You know why? There are so many unconverted Christians who are in the church. They always say it's an 80-20 kind of a thing, right? There are so many people who are in the church, but not in the church, in the Lord. The early church, the church in Colossae, was a loving church. They loved their church because they were ensuring that every person is having an encounter with Jesus and every person is accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's why we have small groups, right? If you realize, for the past few weeks, I've been encouraging you to attend small groups because it's a place that we want to be accountable to. Right, we want to be accountable for our spiritual journey, so that Jesus is not only our Savior, but Jesus is our Lord. We want someone to, you know, to talk to us, to encourage us, to teach us, to help us, to guide us, and also to pray for us. So the church was caring for the faith of people in the church. Dear friends, I think pray for one another. Right, pray for people in our church whom you think, you know, have not actually experienced an encounter with Jesus. The early church was encouraging them, helping them. And, you know, if you look at the word, second one, you know, the church was a loving church. The word Paul uses, the word love. And the word here Paul uses, it's a very interesting way, right? The way, whenever you see the word love in the scriptures, you know, some comes with this, you know, love always sacrifices. And very interestingly, if you look at Paul's writing very carefully, whenever Paul uses the word faith, he will use the word love. He uses faith and he uses love. And the way Paul uses the word, it's very interesting, right? When Paul uses the word faith, he's saying, I'm dying to myself. So when I die to myself, love for others is there in me. Because there is no more self. Myself is dead. Right? I'm dying to myself. I'm filled with the love of Jesus. When I'm filled with the love of Jesus, I have love for people. That's what whenever Paul uses, very interestingly, Paul always uses the word faith and love. Faith and love. If not, it is a dead faith, my friend. The saving faith. If you have faith, show me your love. Right? If you have faith. That's why in James, it talks about faith and deeds. If you have faith, show me your deeds. Show me your love. Right? So when I was working on this, I realized if you don't love the church, that means we need to question our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If I don't love one another in the church, right? If I just come and just warm my seat and I just leave the place, right? I just hang out with, if that's my style, then I think we need to be questioning our faith journey. But the way Paul uses, there's always love, and the love sacrifices, serves, the love seeks. You know, Paul uses the example. Furthermore, in chapter 3, the same epistle he writes in chapter 3, verse 12, And this is how he looks at the word love. He says, you know, what is just love, right? It's compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. You know, I just want to use that word compassion. The word compassion here, it means you go into the skin of the person. In other words, you are there for the person. That's, you go into the skin of that particular person. So it was a loving community. It was a loving community. You know, I was looking at scriptures very carefully. There are almost so many passages in the Bible, right? It's about one another in the church, right? You love one another in the church. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another. Live in harmony with one another. Accept one another. Instruct one another. Greet one another. When was the last time you greeted someone in the church? Right? One of the danger of churches is it can become very cliquish. And so greet one another, he says. Agree with one another. Serve one another. Bear with one another. Be kind. Submit. Forgive one another. Teach. Encourage. Right? And then he goes on. He goes on. One another. One another. One another. That's the church, my friend. And can you imagine that was happening in the churches in the early days? They were there for one another. They were just encouraging one another. They were forgiving one another. They were teaching one another. They were submitting to one another. They were showing hospitality to one another. It was a one another church, my friend. That was the early church in Colossae. Do we love the church? Are we there for one another? Do we pray for one another? Are we kind to one another? Do we live in harmony to one another? Do we greet one another? Do we accept one another? Are we devoted to one another? Do we serve one another? Do we bear one another? That is loving the church. And can you imagine if our churches today become like that? It will be powerful. It will be powerful. And lastly, let me finish with this. Paul uses the last word, and he uses the word hope, right? And he says, what was happening, you know, when you look at the word very carefully, you know, Paul says, what was happening in the early, in this particular church, they had not only faith, they had love, and because it was a saving faith, so that faith led them to love one another, care for one another, and then they had hope. It was a kingdom community, because they knew very well, right? It says, they knew the true message of the gospel. You know, when I was looking at this word very carefully, I was asking myself, why is Paul using the word true message of the gospel? In other words, there are people today, right, in the world, yeah, who come to church, right, who do not really subscribe to the true message of the gospel. In my pastoral experience, I've actually come across people. When I was in seminary back in the U.S., I know many of my friends do not believe the scriptures. Totally, right? I know people who were spiritual authorities who don't believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? They don't believe on the true message of the gospel. Whereas this church had that hope, right? The assurance of salvation. You know, I'm saved. And they were working towards that. At the same time, what was happening, there was fruits. In other words, fruit of righteousness, in other words, and then they were trying to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they were also heavenly minded, kingdom minded people, right? And so when I was looking at the church of Colossae, what was happening? You know, because they knew that their hope is not here, their hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they were just reaching out to one another in the community. I was just reading some things written by, you know, Justin Martyr. And also Tertullian, right, the church fathers and all that. And in their writing, they say, you know, the church in that particular time in history, you know, they brought the message of the gospel so powerfully that the entire Asia Minor heard about the gospel. And that's why they felt, you know, the Lord is coming. That's one of the reasons the church in Thessalonica felt, you know, the coming of the Lord is imminent. It's there. He's coming. Because throughout Asia Minor, the word of God was spreading like wildfire. when I was looking at it, I was just looking at Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, can you stop me from, speaking God's word? I will not mention his word anymore in his name, but I said, I will not mention, but his word is like a fire, right? A fire shut in my bones. I cannot, I have to speak. And Paul also says like that. When I was working on this, I was thinking of the unchurched Christians in the church, or who actually stopped coming in the church, right? Unchurched Christians. In other words, people who came to church as kids, they grew up in the church. At a certain point in time, they felt religion doesn't make any sense to them. And that's the one out of five Christians in America. So I do not know in terms of statistics in Canada. And when I was reading this, I came across another article which said, and they are the hardest people to bring back to the church. It's easier to talk to a person who's a non-Christian, to talk about God's love, but it's much more harder to bring someone who's an unchurched Christian, who have left the church because he or she is not in support of organized Christian. He or she questions authority, right? And he or she doesn't like the things that's happening in the life of the church. It's much more harder. It's easier to bring non-Christians to the Lord. And I think it's a challenge for us. There are so many Christians who are actually leaving the church, right? There are so many books written. It's very sad. I was reading an article. It says, every year there are more than around 4,000 churches, 400 or 4,000 churches in the U.S. have been closed every year. Because people are leaving the church. Whereas the church in Colossae was different. What was happening? They knew. When they looked at people, they knew, they saw people differently. They knew that people are just going to hell. And so they went. They brought them into the faith because they had the kingdom mission in mind. I don't want my people to go to hell. I want them to go to heaven. And so that was how they saw people. They saw their friends. They saw their neighbors with that kind of perspective. I don't want them to go or be thrown into the lake of fire. And they started reaching out because they believed in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me finish by saying, sharing this story. And which I read, it's a story that happened in the U.S., in Los Angeles. This particular pastor was a pastor of one of the largest churches in America. And so, one Sunday he prepared a sermon. He prepared a sermon entitled, Loving One Another. He prayed over the sermon, he prepared, he crafted it. He was very careful in the words. And then, he believed that God is going to work in that particular Sunday. So when he was about to go to the pulpit to preach, God was talking to him in a very powerful way. He heard the voice of God in his heart. And the Lord told him, how many sermons have you preached on this particular theme, loving one another? And he said, Lord, I can't remember. I think I might have spoken around a dozen sermons. And how many times have you, encouraged people to love one another? He said, I can't remember, Lord, but I think maybe 12 times from my sermon or a dozen times. And then he heard God speaking to him. Did this sermon work or did it help the church? He didn't know what to say. And then something impressed upon him, and I believe that it was a work of the Spirit to speak on that particular topic. Very interestingly, he went to the pulpit, right? The pulpit. He stood behind the pulpit. He said these words, love one another. And he went back to his seat. And people were just looking for one another, at one another, didn't know what was happening. They thought maybe he forgot his PowerPoint. He came back to his pulpit again. He looked at the crowd, a large crowd, thousands of people were seated in front of him. Right? He said, love one another. And he went back and sat. Now people knew something is wrong somewhere. Right? They were looking at one another. The third time he came back to pulpit, he said, love one another. And he went back to his seat. And people started talking. And then an elder, someone was sitting behind, stood up and said, I think I understand Pastor's sermon today. And these are the words he says, I think I understand his sermon. He wants me to love you. And so he turned to the person behind him and said, but how can I love you when I do not know you? How can I love you because I do not know you? And so he started introducing himself to the person behind and said, this is me. And everyone in the church started doing that. Everyone looked at people whom they did not even greet one another and said, this is me. And people just encouraging one another. Very interestingly, the true story goes, and they realized there were needs in the church. And the church prayed for the needs. There were people who were going through financial difficulties in the church, and money was raised, and God was just working powerfully by these three words, love one another, my friend. How can I love someone if I do not make the effort of getting to know the person? Jesus loves me because he came to get to know me, my friend. He knows my name. You know, when I was working on this particular sermon, I think it's important for us to know one another. Our church is a small church. We know one another, right? But I thought it would be good for us to further know one another. Find someone today in the church. I thought we will do that before we take the communion. Maybe you have spoken to the person, but you have not heard their prayer needs. Right? Go to the person and say, you know, I want to pray for you today. What is your need? Can we do that? I'll give you three minutes to do that. Let's go to the person in the church. You know them. What do you like to pray for them this week? Come on. 3 minutes. Let's know them. Let's pray for them. Let's encourage them. If you need to get up from your pews, don't worry. Just go. Yes, okay. Let me pray.